Breakfast Beat on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
So one of the local newspapers have a picture on the front page showing that the preparations are underway for the 50th Festival Lights Switch On. And this is planned for the 1st of December. It's something that's been going on clearly for what, like half a century? That's insane. So for the last half a century, the city has put lights up and it's gone on. And there's been a big party around it. And some people think this is a waste of money. Now, the event is apparently going to cost 4.5 million rand. Okay, so entertainment is brought in. It's open to the public. You go there, you chill with your family. They switch on the lights, you get entertained, you sing and dance. You go home, it's like, wow. But Sandra Dixon, she is the founder of Stop the City of Cape Town and no stranger to this radio station. She believes this is a waste of money. And in fact, listeners, if you want to call in, you can also give us your opinion. The number is 021-442-3530. Of course, the lines stay open throughout the show. And you can WhatsApp us as well to the number 072-238-0712. But first, let's hear from Sandra. Good morning. Welcome to Breakfast Beat.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. For once, the wind isn't blowing.
Okay, that's cool. Sandra, 4.5 million rand. You're saying this is a waste of money?
Yes, I think it's a little bit over the top. For instance, I've looked into what the money is supposedly spent on. The artists, there's going to be 14 outfits. Their account is around about 300,000, which means each one gets 21,000 on average, which I think for very popular artists is probably the going rate. However, if we take the 300,000 off the 4.5 million, there's still 4.2 million left. And the split I received of what it is spent on is like building of a stage, various stalls, cordoning off of the area, and other things which I am not aware of. But it seems to me a lot of money if one, for instance, compared it with a big event like the minstrels on New Year's or second New Year's Day. And there's always a controversy around funding of the minstrels. Now, I consider this switching on of the lights as a religious / cultural event. Now, so the question arises, why such a huge focus on this specific event, and then other events, other cultural events, are not even funded? That really concerns me. Then another concern is the fact that law enforcement is being used, the police is called in, and on top of that, private security is also being hired. And I really would like to know who's carrying the bill for the private security and why is that needed on top of law enforcement and the police.
Okay, so in your, firstly, 21,000 rand for a performance of a few hours. Wow, life must be good to earn 21,000 rand for half a day.
I think, but to be realistic, I think the going rate for top-notch artists, it is probably what it is. However, I would love to go and perform there and at least earn some money for this year if I can be frivolous about it. And then the other question that I have around the whole thing is that since 2016, the same company got awarded this contract. So this company gets given the 4.5 million, and it's an events company, and they then have a carte blanche to actually reproduce this every year. Now, for the life of me, I could not find a tender for last year or this year, which tells me that it's an open tender. And if you peruse the city's financial statements, one will see that this company basically gives the city a quotation every year and the money gets given to them. So I'm really concerned about, or let me put it differently, more concerned about the organization and how the money and to whom the money is spent around the event than just mere switching on of lights.
I want to just come back to the other question about private security. So you've had a look at a breakdown of the 4.5 million rand, is that correct?
Yeah, well, a very top, a very, to get any details is virtually impossible.
Okay, well, we are going to have JP Smith on, and then he can also, you know, we can talk with him as well. You can stay on the line. I mean, we can hear from him as well. But so you're saying you're not sure that there was a line item for private security?
I mean, I'm not you sure saw whether top the line item is included in the 4.5 million or whether the city is carrying the can for it. And then the other issue around that is that the 4.5 million is for, the building of the stage, the artist and things like that. But law enforcement that's being supplied is an extra cost. It's overtime. It's their salaries, and that figure, I would like to know, well, it can't be included in the 4.5 because the information in the financial statement says that the 4.5 was awarded to this particular company.
Okay, look, we now will welcome the City of Cape Town's Alderman JP Smith, and I think he's the best person to answer some of these questions. Alderman Smith, good morning. Welcome to Breakfast Beat.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm well, yourself.
Good, thank you. Good, thank you. I'm so glad that we're getting you to respond on the show. You know, as Sandra Dixon is making various claims and asking various questions about a 4.5 million rand price tag on the switching on of the lights event happening or scheduled for the 1st of December. And I think these are important questions as well, you know, about tax money and asking, you know, why the city is spending 4.5 million rand. So, JP, I think the first question I'd like to ask you is, why is the city doing the switching on of the lights at a cost of 4.5 million rand?
So I think 4.5 million rand is not a problematic price tag. The city does one free concert a year for the public in Cape Town. This is the one expense a year where we say everybody has worked hard. It's the end of a long year. There are a lot of people in our city who can't afford tickets for events and can't afford to go to concerts and other stuff where tickets cost too much money. This is the one time in a year where we can throw open the city for them, when they can claim the inner city as their own, come to an event with performers and artists. And as part of this event, there is, aside from the social cohesion you achieve with getting a lot of Cape Townians together in one place to celebrate being in Cape Town, you also have a lot of local artists who are emerging from this as part of the talent search competition, where people are getting to launch potentially a musical career. And at the same time, we have added the art competition to it this year. So there's a lot of additional value that gets added. And I think you have to be an extraordinary Grinch to begrudge other people that one opportunity to celebrate a year gone by and to celebrate being Cape Townian and celebrate our local artist. So we think it is money worth well spent. All big cities in the world do such events and hold large events as part of celebrating the local culture. This is normal and I would suggest very appropriate.
So is it also like about social cohesion? Is it about bringing people together? And is it also, I guess, a tourism thing? Because there are lots of tourists in the city at this time.
No, I don't think it is that much of a tourist thing. The attendance are largely local. Maybe some tourists do come to it. There are other events that draw more tourists, like the minstrels event, the Malay choirs, the Cape Town Carnival. But this event is very much for locals. It's people from across the Cape Flats, around 100,000 people every year who come and who celebrate together there, who enjoy the music, who enjoy switching on the lights. It's a custom that we've done for many years now. And I think that it is an appropriate amount of money to spend and to give back to the people of Cape Town and say, here, come and enjoy the evening with us.
Okay. So the question about security comes up as well. Does the 4.5 million rand include the price tag for private security, or is that an additional expense?
It is a combination of private security and city security. There's not much private security involved in the event. The event, we do flood the area with law enforcement and Metro Police. And we also have a lot of reservists in the city, law enforcement auxiliary members. They come out in numbers as well to help make the city safe. We even get some help from neighborhood watches. So last year, we didn't have any incidents at the event itself, although more broadly in the CBD on the night, there were crime incidents. But I'm afraid that is, and I'm sorry to say that, that is unfortunately par for the course to have incidents, especially over weekends. that is unfortunately so that we are not devoid of crime. And we are seeing large numbers of parolees being released by the Department of Correctional Services continuously. And several of these are finding their way back to the CBD and are bringing with them some practices that no community in Cape Town wants to support.
I mean, I definitely remember last year, like the day after the event, there was a statement that came out about crime. But you're saying it didn't actually happen in the inner city, rather.
One incident was... down in the bottom of the CBD, the other one was in the company gardens. It is possible that those people were earlier in the evening at the event, but the incidents that happened away from that, and the one in the company gardens in a very dark corner, so it's hard to imagine what that person was doing there if they were at the event.
Yeah, so essentially you're saying this event is safe.
Well, yes. I mean, this year we will be using, aside from the drones we launch and hover above the event, we have CCTV cameras. We will have our cherry picker this year, so we've got a mobile platform that we elevate, which Metro Police officers can use as a lookout. We've got staff in plain clothes and in uniform roaming between the 100,000 crowd. So we practice the protocols that we would for any large event. And we increase numbers above the average because of the incidents in the past. We're trying to make sure that the event goes down incident-free. And hopefully the public will work with us this year. Last year, alcohol was a problem. And people, unfortunately, did find one or two ways to bring alcohol into the event. This year, we've adapted our strategies to try and make sure that the booze doesn't get anywhere near the event so that we can keep that at bay. Last year, we made some good arrests for the one or two bag snatchers that were operating in between the crowd, because unfortunately when people assemble, criminals assemble with them.
Okay, and what is the need for private security though?
Well, often the private security will do the static guarding at various points and search people, so you use them to bolster your numbers. With events on a busy day and over this time we have every day multiple events, so over that weekend alone, for instance, you've got multiple parallel events. You've got the DSTV festival running at the same time. And that does mean that your resources get stretched. So it's not uncommon for safety and security to have to commit somewhere between 180 and 300 plus staff to events on that night. We will probably have around 400-450 staff attending to the event from disaster management, fire, and the three enforcement services. So we do rather max out our capacity, and you bring on board as much extra capacity as you can with private security. It's highly uncommon to see any event these days that does not have a private security contingent attached to it.
Okay. And now the other allegation or comment is that the city...
Now everything Sandra says is an allegation. You can call it that because this is a lady who spends all of her time trying to make the city look bad. And we understand that she's a proxy for a political party and she must do her paid work. So you can call it an allegation.
Is she? Sandra, are you working for a political party?
Yes, she's totally a proxy. She'll deny it, but she's totally a proxy. I watch her social media activities all day, every day, sir.
Sandra, are you working for a political party? Sandra, are you there?
I'm dumbstruck. He said
Sandra and I've had this conversation before, sir. Let's confine ourselves to the event for the time.
Okay, but
now,
I mean,
are you insulting me then?
Sandra, I just want to give you a chance to respond, that's all. But we're not going to get into a big debate. Just answer the question, please. Are you working for a political party?
No. N-O, no.
Okay. Just needed to give a chance to respond. Coming back to the actual event, what's important as well to understand is the cultural elements. So we've got music, we've got performance, we've got, all kinds of artists coming on board. But the company that puts all of this together, apparently it's been the same company since 2016. Is it an open tender? Is it a fair selection? How does it work?
So I've asked the head of the events department to get back to me before the interview. I understood your interview was at 7:30 this morning, not at 7:15. And in fact, she's just tried to call me.
Uh-huh.
So I will get her to put together a response to the claim I heard Mrs. Dixon made yesterday. But the city's procurement process is monitored like a hawk. Our supply chain management lets nothing go through. So there, I heard the lady distinguish between apparently a tender and an open tender. There is no such thing. There is a tender process which we have to go through. There are certain tenders in terms of which a panel of suppliers is appointed. I will get Leonor D'Souza to compile a formal response, and we are asking places that have aired the misinformation to give us a right of reply so we can set the record straight around the scurrilous attempt to suggest that there's something irregular about how we secure the service. There are a few large events operators in South Africa, and they do dominate the event space, but we go out of our way to support smaller events organizers. There are events organizers popping up now all over, and we even try and incentivize events to move out of the CBD into those spaces because we are so keen to see our events footprint grow into communities where they don't normally happen. Just why, for instance, we signed a multi-year agreement with the Mitchells Plain DSTV Festival.
Okay. So look, I mean, I think what's an important part of our show is obviously making sure that our listeners also have interaction. And I have invited listeners to phone if they want to, or send WhatsApp messages. And it's important because these are the people, I think, JP, that you want to communicate with as well. You want to communicate to the public, to the taxpayer. And I'd like to share some of the messages that have come through. So listener 8578 is saying, all these festive events in the CBD is not advisable because some people misbehave. They urinate all over, blow smoke in one's face. And the money can be used elsewhere, for example, in education. I'm just going to share what the listeners are saying. This is Voices on the Ground. And if there's anything that you want to respond to, you can feel free to do so. You don't have to respond
to
everything.
Well, on the last one, remember, education is not a local government competency. It's a provincial competency. And remember that all the money we spend ends up going back into the pockets of local people. So every cent you spend is economic development. It's creating a job. So whether we spend the money on an EPWP job, letting somebody sweep the street or doing something else, which nobody complains about, or whether we spend it on an event where the event's employees, the catering companies, the transport companies, the rigging companies, the sound people, they're all local citizens, they're all local people who are earning a living out of events. And events are an important part of our city's culture, and particularly this event. We keep on trying to add components to add more legacy value, like the arts competition and the talent search competition. So I would suggest that this is a very appropriate way to stimulate the local economy.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's important to share listeners' views as well. And
absolutely.
I think,
and I'm happy to hear them.
I mean,
and I'm happy to respond.
I mean, I think for the average person, 4.5 million rand is like a big number, and they're thinking, oh my goodness, why are we spending it on lights when it could be, I mean, for example, listeners 6, 2, 3, 4 says, how about
it's not on lights, remember, it's the entire event and accommodating 100,000 people around that. So basically you're putting on once a year a free concert for the people across the Cape Flats who come to the city. And yes, some do misbehave, but I think it's unfair to characterize or to slur everybody as misbehaving. An event isn't ruined because a few misbehave. We do try and curb the misbehavior. This year, we've got some more tricks up our sleeve with even more plainclothes police in the crowd. So we think that we will have a good handle on the situation, especially because we'll achieve a more effective lockout of any alcohol.
Okay. Okay, here's listener 5638. I like this one, actually. The city believes that this is what the people need. This is what they think means giving back to Cape Town. Why not? Well, they're saying this amount is made up from all the tariffs we're paying for water and electricity. That was interesting.
Well, that's actually not true, because water and electricity, and it's important that we have these conversations so we can get correct information out there. Water and electricity are ring-fenced services, so they fund their own functioning, and the money on this event's budget is rates-based, so it does not come out of the water and electricity tariffs. So that is inaccurate, but I understand how somebody could form that conclusion. This money comes out of the city's events budget and is specifically there to allow us to host, generate, stimulate, and grow events, which is part of the city's formal strategy. It's not a whim. We have a very particular strategy around economic growth through events. The top 8 events in the city generate 3 billion rand of economic activity according to the events impact assessments that were done. So there's a very good reason we keep on driving events. Okay. That's why we're the city's festival and events capital of the world.
Okay, so now we're going to wrap up. Yeah, please do. And of course, this is your last comments because we also have to wrap up. But Sandra, please do go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you. The inaccuracy Alderman just told us, which he wants us to believe. First of of all, from the electricity account, 10% is skimmed off and it goes to the rates account. So the listener is perfectly correct. Some of the electricity money does find its way into the rates account. And if this comes out of the rates account, then our electricity payments are contributing to this event. And then secondly, Mr. Smith, why is your department carrying the budget for an event like this? Even though you have a lot of presence there, it is certainly not a safety and security event.
So, you know, this is Sandra Dixon at her best. The money that goes off the, that gets added to the rates account from electricity is all infrastructure-led. So none of that will go to events or otherwise. That money all goes towards infrastructure development. So it'll go for roads, repairs, potholes, etc. The money for, and that is practice, common practice across South Africa in terms of the over-recovery, in terms of the electricity tariff. So it's not a unique Cape Town phenomenon at all. The, my directorate is called the Safety and Security and Events Department. Events is explicitly part of my directorate, something I've done for a while, and hosting, permitting, supporting and developing events in the film industry is an explicit part of my job description, something that I try and do as best possible because it creates an increasingly larger number of jobs in the city. And a core part of what we achieve as a city must be job creation for our people. And this event is a prime example of being able to stimulate local job creation. The artists, the events, and all the coattails, the ecosystem that goes along with events,
okay,
that all creates jobs.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you to JP Smith. Sandra, was that it? Are you done?
No, yeah? I thank JP for clarifying this last bit because I truly could not understand, because communicating with the city has become or is very difficult. So to get information from them is almost impossible. So thank you for clarifying your job description to me. That's very welcome.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank Alderman JP Smith and Sandra Dixon, and she's, of course, from the Stop the City of Cape Town organization. I want to thank both of you for coming on the show this morning, making time for us as always. Thank you so much.